So the Agape Friends will meet tomorrow night here in the Fellowship Hall. We'll be packing the baskets for the teen parent shower. It's going to be Wednesday. The girls will get here about 8:40. Anyone that wants to participate is more than welcome. These prayer shawls are for the girls, so as you take communion, if you'll just bless them for the girls. That's one of the highlights of the shower, is they just, the minute they walk in, their eye and the baby blanket. So they're really special to the girls, so if you'll bless them, thank you. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock, Debbie and Martha will be here bringing, we have baby clothes down in the basement, and they'll be here bringing those baby clothes up to the parlor so the girls can go through them and pick out. So anyone that can come at 1 o'clock tomorrow would be appreciated.
And the price, ooh, that sounds good. The price is going to go up again if you don't do it by the end of today. So you can still go, hope you will, but if you want to save, I think it's $30 or $40, do it today instead of tomorrow. We wish a happy birthday this week to a whole host of folks. To Marie, Bill, Max, Colton, Hunter, David, Jonathan, Jordan, Jean, Neil, Chip, Lynn, Brandon, Caroline this week, and happy anniversary to Greg and Gina. Did we miss anybody, or should we add anybody to the list? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand as our worship begins on page 94 in the front of your book. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, Come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with all our heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord,
have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Christ, the Lord, has saved. This God set us free to be born of God. Help us, and reach us, and praise our best friend.
Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, you are the author of life, and you adopt us to be your children. Fill us with your words of life, that we may live as witnesses to the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will join me up this way for the children's message. Good morning. Come on, Marcus. Can you sit up on the steps, please? Can you sit on the steps? Okay, that's all right. Hey, guys. Has anybody ever seen one of these before? A binky? What else might you call it? A passy?
Yeah.
Yeah? Did anybody ever use one of these? Do you know?
When we were a baby.
When you were a baby, you did? Mason, you did? And does your brother use one sometimes?
Yeah.
Yeah, does he still use it sometimes? Marcus used to use one of these, and my nephews still use them a lot. What do they use these for?
To keep your baby quiet.
Yeah, that's one use. Yeah, to keep them quiet. Do babies like these or not?
Kind of.
It depends on the baby, but a lot of babies like them, and it sort of helps them be quiet because they're not upset, right? Why do babies cry? Because maybe they're scared, or they don't feel good, or they're uncomfortable,
or they're
anxious. Sometimes they just cry for no reason. Yeah. But a lot of times they cry because they might be afraid, or they might be angry, and they don't know what to do, so they just cry. But these don't just stop up their mouths. Sometimes they make them feel better, right? Does this make your brother feel better sometimes? Yeah, sometimes they get babies get really upset if they don't have these. But when they have these, they can put them in, they suck on them. It's familiar, it's comfortable, and it makes them know that they're safe and that they're where they're supposed to be, and then they can go to sleep, right? That's what these are for. In our psalm today, we hear about how God's love, makes us safe and secure, and we can lie down and sleep in peace. Okay? Do you guys ever have trouble going to sleep?
Yes, because I have a bedtime story.
We have to have a routine sometimes to help us go to sleep.
I watched a show called Haunting Hour.
Sometimes scary things make us have a hard time.
And I watched it on Thanksgiving, I'm still scared.
You're still scared sometimes, yeah. Well, for babies, a pacifier is something that tells them that everything is okay and that they're safe and secure and they can go to sleep in peace. For us, the thing that helps us go to sleep sometimes in peace is knowing that God loves and cares for us and that nothing can change that, okay? You guys up here have all been baptized before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you were baptized, somebody drew a cross on your forehead with a little bit of oil maybe, or maybe with just their finger. Did you know that?
No.
That cross of your baptism is always with you on your forehead, even if you can't see it. So one thing for us that helps us lie down and go to sleep in peace, if you're worried or anxious, you could go like this. Do this with me. Take your finger and make a cross on your forehead. You could trace that cross and remember that God is with you, that you are God's precious child, and that God cares for you and loves you and will never leave you alone. That's an amazing thing. That can help us feel safe. You could even make that part of your bedtime routine. Maddie, you said you had a long routine, right? You have to do all these things. You could make that cross on your forehead so you remember when you lie down to say your prayers and that God is with you. Because God loves you, you are God's precious child, and nothing could change that. So try that this week. Make that sign of the cross on your forehead before you go to bed so you can lie down and go to sleep in peace, okay? Will you guys pray with me? Repeat after me. Lord God,
help us to remember
you are with us
so that we can have peace.
Amen. Okay, thank you guys. If you guys are going to Children's Church, you can line up at the door, or you're welcome to stay and sit back with your parents. So here we are this morning, gathering 2 weeks on from Easter Day, and the lilies that were all up here a couple of weeks ago are now gone. School is back in session. My traditional post-Easter vacation, maybe yours too, is over. But here we are still 2 weeks on with white draping the altar and the cross. And if you go back and read carefully in the 24th chapter of Luke in our gospel reading for today, it's still Easter. And not in some symbolic way, not in the seasonal way that the church celebrates it. The events that we heard about in Luke's gospel just moments ago are actually happening on the same day that the women found the tomb empty and were shocked at the appearance of two men in dazzling white clothes. It's still that first Easter day, the same day that Peter ran to the tomb to see for himself, the same day that Jesus appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. It's the same day that those two disciples realize that they've seen the risen Lord and they hurry back to Jerusalem to tell everybody else what has happened. And it's while they're excitedly talking about the appearance of the risen Jesus to them that our gospel lesson begins today. Jesus stands among them and says, "Peace be with you." Jesus, the one who they knew had been crucified and buried, is suddenly standing there with them. And not just in some spiritual, ghostly form, but a walking, talking, fish-eating person whose hands and feet they can touch. Jesus is there. And that right there, the fact that this guy who was killed is suddenly alive and among them, that's enough to blow your mind. So if you're still feeling sluggish this week from your first week back after your Easter vacation and you just need to go ahead and check out for the next 8 minutes, if you can wrap your head around the fact that Jesus is alive after he was dead, well, you have my blessing. Go ahead, take that, and you can be done paying attention to the sermon today. But if you do still have some attention left, chew on this with me. What does this alive again Jesus have to say? "I am the Messiah that Scripture has been talking about," basically he says. "And now that we've got that cleared up, repentance and forgiveness of sins in my name is to be proclaimed to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem." I think it's pretty striking, pretty hopeful, hope-inspiring that Jesus calls for the repentance and forgiveness of sins to be proclaimed to all nations. Because do you remember who it was that executed him? Nations, right? The Jewish nation hands him over to the Roman nation to be killed. And he says, "Proclaim repentance and forgiveness to all nations." And where does this proclamation begin? Beginning in Jerusalem, the very place, the very people that execute Jesus are the first ones, he says, are to hear this proclamation of forgiveness. So the risen Jesus, who has just come back from the dead, mind you, says that repentance and forgiveness is to be proclaimed to Jerusalem and all nations. We feel pretty good, generally, about forgiveness, right? We're in favor of it. Forgiveness is sort of like Christianity 101 in some ways. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And probably for us Christians, forgiving those who have wronged us is one of the most powerful ways that we can proclaim Christ's forgiveness, that we can point to God's forgiveness for all nations by how we go about living out forgiveness. But do we always even know exactly what we mean when we say, "I forgive you"? Christian forgiveness, actually, is not about forgive and forget or live and let live. It's not a free pass to do whatever you want without consequences. Christian forgiveness at its core is about restoring a broken relationship, removing the barriers that exist between us because of a wrong, so that we can go back to being in relationship, one of mutual goodwill and support for one another. So, if I'm hanging out with my brother and he gets mad about something I said or did and hauls off and punches me in the face, well, forgiveness is about us finding a way to be in relationship with one another again. But it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to be comfortable standing within arm's length of him, certainly not right away, and maybe not ever again. Maybe in this situation, forgiveness would look like supporting him by helping him to seek ways to deal with his anger in a healthy way, or talking it out about why he reacted that way. Forgiveness in this case might entail me looking at my own behavior and examining what I might have done to build this conflict to that level. Because actually, if he and I are going to ever move forward in our relationship, we both need more than just a pardon for him, right? It doesn't do anybody any good to let the behavior get a pass if we know it's going to happen again, right? We need something more to restore this relationship. We need transformation. Transformation is what it's going to take for relationship to be restored. And transformation, unfortunately, doesn't come easy, and it usually takes buy-in from both parties if it's going to work. But transformation is exactly what Jesus is talking about. Repentance, he says, before he ever mentions the word forgiveness, repentance, which is turning away from the destructive path and turning to a new path, one that is met with joyful forgiveness and the restoration of relationship. When I sin, and I do sometimes, when I wrong my neighbor, when I wrong you, it's not just you or my neighbor who is involved, right? God is wronged too. And that's because everything we do to other people matters to God. So when I hurt somebody, it always hurts God too. And I think we understand this on a fundamental level. If there is a kid who is mean to Marcus at daycare or pushes him down or bites him or whatever, it's not just him who's going to be upset at the end of the day, right? As his parent, I get pulled into it, sucked in, even if I don't want to. I am wronged too. To an even greater degree, when we sin against one another, God bears that pain too. God's in it. And this sin creates a barrier to our relationship with God. But fortunately, we have a God who over and over and over again claims, forgives, and cares for us, seeks us out, the very people who by our sin reject God. Our God is the one who continuously offers forgiveness and brings us back into right relationship. And this is not simply a pardon from God, because pardon, the idea that blame is wiped away and we continue forward as before, that's not enough, is it? Because forgiveness is about relationship. And what kind of relationship is it when one party expects to keep being wronged over and over and over again? Now, I suppose God could handle that, right? But God wants more than that for us. So God's forgiveness is also about transformation, about empowering us to unlearn the habits of sin and death being transformed by the Holy Spirit into something better, because that old sinful habit is rightly judged by God to be not worthy of God's kingdom. We experience the transforming of power, the transforming power of forgiveness, most clearly at the font and at the table, these places where the risen Jesus physically meets us too, in water, in bread, and in wine, the body of Christ. And we proclaim that what we encounter in baptism and at the table is forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Jesus' very presence in us, literally transforming us from the inside out, turning us away from our sin. It's the same risen Jesus who says to the disciples, who says to us, repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed to all nations. And that's our calling. As those who have been forgiven by God, we are called to proclaim forgiveness, to spread the word that God offers forgiveness freely, to live as forgiven and forgiving people. Now, that doesn't mean we have to be doormats or bury our heads in the sand and pretend nothing happened when we're wronged. But we are called to be people who will not let sin continue to stand in the way of relationship, even if that relationship has to look different because of the sin going forward. We forgive not so that we can feel good, but so that we can be about the good to which we have been called, loving and caring for one another, even in the midst of sin, doing the hard work of figuring out how we can remain in some sort of relationship with one another of mutual care and concern. Sounds like an enormous task, I know, because really it is. But get this. Jesus, who was dead, is alive. And if that can be true, there is nothing that God can't do. And this risen Jesus, he has something to say, something to tell us and his disciples when he returns from the grave. Proclaim repentance and forgiveness in my name, he says. That's our calling. Amen.
Thank you. Let us confess what we believe by use of the Nicene Creed found on page 104 or up on the screen. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation,
rejoicing in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we pray for the witness of the church, the wholeness of creation, and all who are in need. Holy God, we pray for your church the world over and for all its many expressions. Particularly, we lift up our young people who are preparing to travel to the National Youth Gathering in Houston. Strengthen the teams planning that event. Prepare the hearts and minds of the youth and the adults who will experience your love this summer. We lift up, Lord, our neighbor congregations, St. Luke's and Grace Lutheran, as they continue to discern who you might be calling to be their pastors. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, walk with all refugees who leave their homes to move to safety. Protect them on their journey. Greet them with hospitality. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Compassionate God, you heal us. For all those who have not seen the healing that they desire, and for all those who cannot access the care they need, send, Lord, along with your Spirit, social workers, doctors, nurses, caregivers for them. Today, we especially lift up Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Jana, Barbara, Bill, and Betty, the family of Steve, Harold, Hunter, the family of Tootie, Taylor, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, our provider, you call us to give generously. Bless those who care for finances and stewardship in this congregation. Make us joyful givers of the time, talents, and treasures you have first given us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of our ancestors, in you we have our beginning and our end. We remember all the faithful departed. Enfold in a shield of peace all those who mourn. Hold them in your love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We entrust all our prayers to you, gracious God. Receive them by the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We share a sign of Christ's peace.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." We pray as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Sacred story, till we claim it as our own. Teach
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift of faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We'll say our mission statement together, which is on page 5 of your bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.